Welcome, folks, to another Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic show. My name is Mark, the Landing Crew Wheeler, and welcome again. We've had a pretty eventful week recently, from the Northeast down to the South, including the aforementioned October nor'easter that hit north. Hope everyone's digging out and trying to stay warm. I know Greg Hammerhead Crisp, who was in the chat room, had 27 inches of the powdery white stuff. That's usually a January affair and not October. So hopefully everything with Greg is okay. All right, folks. Tonight's show is going to be one on not fishing necessarily, but what we do after fishing. And what I mean by that is the art of fishing. Talking about taxidermy, about ink printing fish, painting fish, and the things that strive and people use to alleviate, I guess it would be a word, the sport and the mystical fish, whatever that might be. So we're going to get started. We do have some several folks in the chat room. We have Greg Hammerhead Crisp up in New Hampshire. Again, 27 inches of the powdery white stuff. And I am definitely feeling for him. That's gnarly. Oh. Also, we have Mr. Mark Lozier in the house. Also, Scuba Stan down in Charleston, South Carolina. And Chris Lozier up in Virginia Beach. All right. So, fish art. The biggest one for us as fishermen that we see all the time and we kind of drool over is the taxidermy side. And what is taxidermy? Taxidermy is a lifelike impersonation of size, color of a species, from deer and bear and moose and elephant to sunfish and minnows, all the way to stripers and billfish. Let's look at the history of taxidermy and how it's evolved. Back in the day, folks, it was a kill taxidermy style. Basically, what they did is they took a fish, they killed it, brought it home, took it to the taxidermist. Taxidermist would take it, skin it, stick it over top of a mold. Hopefully, the mold was the same size as the fish. If not, they trimmed it and made it fit. So necessarily, you weren't getting the same fish as the one that you caught. I can attest to this. My grandfather caught a massive bluefish. Big old beer belly, gnarly looking bluefish. I have pictures of it. It is just amazing, the size of this blue. Went and got a taxidermy. Unfortunately, the fish he got back is not the same bluefish that he sent. And it was always one of those moments for him where he looks at it and just goes, it was a memory, but not the same one. If you're in the chat room, I'm going to post the link to the pictures for y'all to see. Is the pictures will also be added to the Kayak Fishing Radio Wednesday recap, which you can find at kayakfishingradio.com/ recaps, I believe, is the new page that we're adding for all the recaps for everyone who misses the live show, but to catch the podcast. This way you can find the websites we talk about and the different things that happen on the chat rooms. All right, as soon as this thing comes up. Taxidermy has evolved with the times. More people are being more conservative more conservation geared, and that's a great thing. Pretty much the leaders in this were, I just got the name, Sailfish Release Mounts, which they've gone far and beyond making beautiful mounts from completely lifelike, the size, the colors, everything from pictures. You know, if you've got a 1,200-pound marlin and you want to put it in your den and it'll fit, they'll make you the same marlin, which is just amazing. All the way down to Texas, little mahi-mahi that you can put on your desk in a little stand. So they have evolved it, and more taxiderms are taking that same step. Now, if you wanted to get one done from them, from Sailfish Release Mounts, or any other taxiderms that fall in the same brand, what you're going to need is the length of the fish with pictures. Take as many pictures of the fish as you can. If you have a spot on the fish that just looks really cool, let's say it's got, a stripe, you call it a striper, and one of the stripes comes out and does, a heart shape on its one side, and that's the side that you want. Take pictures of that in conjunction with the fins and everything else. So this way they can make the best replication of your fish, if that's a word. But you take pictures, you take length, and you take a girth. So this way, the taxidermy fish that you get back is the same fish. This way, when you hold it in your hands, you put it on your wall, you look at it, and you remember that fish without any repercussions or bad juju feelings. And this is something that's growing everywhere. Even in the animal side, the land-based side, and we're talking, people getting taxidermy deer of a deer that they saw of the head and everything else, and taking pictures of it, and a taxidermist actually making a resin antler to fit for that deer. With the DSLRs now that you can, be sitting 100 yards back and zoom it in, and you can count the number of whiskers on his nose. It's pretty amazing how detailed they can get now. And this is the sign of things to come, people, ladies and gentlemen, is that, more conservation is moving our minds. We're going from let's kill every fish we catch to maybe keeping one, if not releasing all, of a species. And that's a great thing to see. Now onto the other side of things. Fish prints. Gyutaku, which is an abs I have fallen in love with this technique. We have a gentleman who's a regular on the show, and has a great website, Rob Choi. He does some great gyutaku. Basically what that is, if you don't know, is the ancient art of fish printing. Now you're going, fish printing? What are you talking about? Like a press and stuff like that? Kind of the same idea. And what it is, Mark says, best taxidermist in Virginia area, Mountain Breeze. And yeah, I was actually going to get, Dave Saunders. I was going to get a deer done from him, but unfortunately it was late in the season and he was already booked till next season. So kind of rough on that end. Chris says, hope we are on his Christmas card list this year so we can frame another Rob Choi rub. Yes, I mean, he does some great stuff. And you can check out his fish prints on angling-attic.com. He does a great fish print there. Flounder, striper, stuff like that. There is a gentleman, hopefully I can pronounce his name, out in Hawaii, that I've seen some of the stuff. His name is Nitako, Nico, I believe. And he actually adds color to these. I'm getting ahead of myself. Basically, what the fish print is you take a fish, and unfortunately you do have to harvest the fish, and you clean them up, get rid of the slime and any dirt or blood or whatever might be there. You set the fish up, you know, in a way that you can, you know, in a fashion that will allow you to add an ink. Usually it's like an Indian ink or just let's say ink. And you use rice paper, a t-shirt. I've seen some people do it on in my research. And they cover this fish in this ink, and they lay this stuff down, and they press it out. And when you remove the rice paper, is usually what's used, when you lift it up and you look at it, it's a perfect imprint of that fish. Very cool stuff. All the way down, you know, the scales and everything. And how the fins and the barbels and, you know, like on a drum are just so pronounced and everything else. And then you color in the eye, which unfortunately doesn't come out. Greg Crisp just put up a website called fishedimpressions.com. I have seen this guy's stuff. Absolutely beautiful. And, you know, it's one of those ones where even, you know, people that aren't artsy and crafty can do. And I can attest to this. I've tried my hands at doing fish impressions using my kid's fish toy, Bunny Nemo toy, perfectly flat and everything else. And you can do it, folks. It's very, very simple. Greg says he does some nice work, and I have several Joe shirts. Very, very nice stuff on that end. Can't say enough about how these guys, you know, take the art and really, you know, run with it. D.D. Olson has joined the I guess it wouldn't be Buzzard Row because they're not Buzzard Row because they're not in the chat, in the queue, but they would be, so not for Buzzard. I don't know, we'll call them Buzzard Row for now. So, where was I at? It's so hard to do this on my own. Oh, how to do your own fish prints. Jeez. Trying to talk my own is so difficult without someone else to remind me. You catch your fish, folks. You harvest a legal fish. Okay. You put it on ice. You take it home. What you're going to do, and you can eat the fish after you're done printing it. And that's the greatest thing about it, is that you're not wasting anything. Is you clean the fish. You can find most of the stuff online in descriptions. I'm just giving a quick, you know, idea of how it's done. With a mild detergent, some people use, other people use salt, but you're trying to get the slime and everything else off, nice and clean. And then you would, you know, lay out some newspaper, lay the fish down, use a rag or a foam bristle, you know, a foam brush or, you know, a rag, add the ink, whichever style of ink you use for what you're trying to do. And you take it from the head to the tail with the grain. Add a good amount. I found that if I add a lot in the beginning, it makes things easier. And then what I do is I take a balled up rag and I blot it. I'm starting at the tail and working my way up. As you're blotting, you're lifting those scales and everything else up a little bit. Don't forget to fan out the fins if you can. Add some pins in there. It'll definitely help. So I'll blot it back up to the head. Remove any ink from the eye because the ink won't transfer from the eye very well. And then you take whatever photo or carbon copy, I guess you call it, the rice paper, the great part, the T-shirt. Some people use classified news ads. Surprisingly, it looks really cool. whatever you'd want to use, okay? And you take it and you lay it down flat on top of the fish, just kind of laid over top. Put your hands the center mass on that fish, and then press out without trying to shift the workpiece you're on. You're just trying to get as much coverage as possible. Get everything pressed up really, really well, and then lift it up in one clean move. Turn it over and take a look. And 9 times out of 10, you're gonna have a perfect imprint of the fish. The reason I say 9 times out of 10 because sometimes you don't get a good imprint. But after that, you look at the eye and you see a big blank spot where the eye would be. You go ahead and add your own interpretation of the eye. I've seen some people do a regular fish eye. I see people do cat's eyes, things like that. Got a caller. Hang on 1 second. 804, you are on the air.
Hey, what's up, man? It's Rob Troy, dude.
Hey, Rob, just talking about you.
Talking about me?
Yeah, talking about
what I do.
You. Your Geotaco, or Geotaco. I can't pronounce the damn thing. I'm sorry.
Oh, the Fish Prince.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. I forgot. That's right. You were going to talk about it. I actually have not been listening, so I don't know what you guys are talking about, but I just had to call in them. Yeah.
I'm talking about the process of doing the Geotaco, or the Fish Prince, we'll just call it. And the step-by-step process of cleaning the fish up and, doing using the ink. Explain how you do it, because I know you do some beautiful prints.
Thank you. Hold on 1 second. Sorry, dude. Just trying to step away. Obviously catch the fish, and, I don't normally keep anything unless I know I'm going to put it to really good use, so obviously eat it and... I don't usually keep anything just to make a print because I feel like it's kind of weird. But get the fish, put it on I have a fairly large board. Wipe it completely clean with paper towels. Obviously, it's going to keep leaking. You're going to find little spots here and there that have some moisture on there. And I use different methods to keep the fins open. So, obviously when a fish dies, the fins usually collapse on itself and fold down. You can use tacks. You can use, I've stuck a piece of the foam behind the fin and tacked them. I've used the edges of T-shirts, because a lot of the fins have the little spines that stick up. You can catch one of those spines with either a string or... I found that the T-shirt that I used to wipe the fish, I can usually snag one of those little sharp fins and pull it forward, and the T-shirt itself holds it there just because of the weight of the T-shirt.
Right.
And applying the ink, that's the challenging part, the right amount of ink and consistency, the ratio from ink to water. That's all the difficult part. I won't say difficult. I mean, it's all an experiment. Almost every one of my prints that I've, or every fish that I've printed, the first 3 or 4 prints always are big inky blobs, almost every time. And cool. After that, there's usually some deposit of ink in the scales already and along the fish. And I apply less and less, and every time I go to make another print and usually around the 5th or 6th time it starts looking really good. And then afterwards, if it's like a striper, then you paint the stripes in speckled trout, put the little dots on there. The eye, usually I like to touch up. Sometimes every print is going to be a little different. In the art world, and the printmakers, every single one of them has something that looks good on it, although not always. The really good ones are the ones that, all over it, it looks really good. But
right.
There's a lot of parts where, you're going to find splotches here and there that just didn't come out just right, So sometimes I'll try to touch them up. I think some printmakers will say that's a sin because... once a print is done, you're not supposed to touch it up. It is what it is, you know.
Right.
And that's the beauty of it to them. So I think that's about the gist of it. And I'll mount mine onto a panel that I the place I work has a lot of Gator board. It's like foam core, a little bit harder.
Right.
Actually, a lot harder, and it's a it's a good lightweight way to present them. And I have two stamps that I got from Korea when I visited my folks over there. And one is my personal little logo with the RMC, and the other one's since I got this whole process from my mom. I learned most of this from my mom. I decided to keep my Korean traditions and put my Korean signature on there too. So
definitely cool.
Yep.
Now, I have a question here from Dee Dee. What type of ink do you use? Paper type or textile?
It's almost all it's called suiting ink. It's the same ink that like the people like Asian people do the calligraphy with and stuff like that.
Okay. Now, where would you would you find that?
Most art stores have them.
Okay.
Like in Richmond, there's ZCU. It's got a big art school, so there's several different art stores. But in anywhere, you could probably find it at Michael's or maybe Ben Franklin's. I'm not sure, but
right.
Or you could probably order it online too.
All right.
It's fun, actually, to test out different kinds of paper, too, because there's some textured papers that have some really cool, you know, effects on there. And I've seen a lot of people use dark paper and put, like, a light-colored paint on the fish and print it on there. So that looks pretty cool, too. So lots of different fun things you can do with it.
Now, we have Chris asked, Chris Lozier, asked if which fish will be on the Christmas card this year.
I'm leaning towards the flounder this year, Chris. I think that's one of the better ones that came out this year. I haven't really been doing them nearly as much as I have been before, like the last year or two. I've been more focused on the fishing part, but maybe next year I'll pick it back up.
Right. Now, where would you find what type of paper and what kind of paper works best for you?
Mostly just rice paper. I like a plain. I really had to test out a couple different kinds to get the. Some of them pick. It's like paper towels. Different kinds of paper towels pick up, you know, things differently. And the one, it's by Lowell Corning, or Lowell Corning. I forget the name exactly. I think that's the name of the company. I apologize. I'm not near a computer right now, but. I think it's Lowell Corning, and it's about 18 inches tall. It comes in a roll, so you have a big roll. And I usually just pull off a piece, cut it, and I usually cut off a whole bunch of pieces ready to go, and then because I like to make it go by kind of quick instead of having to cut them every time. Because the time that you have between inking it and putting the paper on it, that's also another a big issue for me. Like depending on how dry the air is, or how wet the, or how humid it is, after you put the ink, it the time that you have to put the paper on there varies. So I like to have my papers already cut and ready to apply without me having to measure it and cut it and then apply it. So yeah.
Okay. So you buy the rice paper online, or can you find that at like a Michael's or Ben Franklin?
You might be able to find it at Michael's or Ben Franklin's. I went to a specific art store that carries very specialized things.
Right.
There's various different kinds of rice paper, and you could probably talk to if you go into an art supply store, you could probably ask them about it. They usually have a section in where they have these flat files. This really big files that are, you know, flat, and you pull them out, and they got a whole bunch of different kinds of paper in there, and you can probably feel them, and sometimes you'll see they have like little strands of different fibers in there, and you know, different patterns sometimes.
Cool.
Yep.
I've been delving into it a little bit myself. main reason is my father is a mad genius when it comes down to taking anything, looking at it and going, I can put this on wood. And I sent him a photo of a fish impression and said, you know, what do you think you can do with this? And you can almost hear it through the email, the gears turning in my father's head. So, plus, I just think it's just, you know, it's one of those subtle, nice things that, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. You can put it in, you know, a vegetarian pita lover's house, and they think it'd be the coolest thing ever. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it anyone can really enjoy it. So.
Yeah. I was going to say, but there's a photo emulsion. It's like a liquid that you put on anything, really, and like a rock even. And I'm not sure exactly how it works, but apparently, you could probably look it up, photo emulsion paint or something like that. And it, like, I'm not sure exactly how it works, but apparently you can get a photograph basically printed onto a rock or a piece of wood, like so the grains come through still. I was looking at that like a couple of years ago. I didn't really follow up on it, but it looked pretty cool. So, I don't know. So maybe pass it on. Maybe he knows about it already. He probably does.
I know my father. He's already looked into it already moved forward.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's Dan Smolin made that oval frame of yours, which is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, that turned out really cool. Really cool. I've never seen one done in an oval. I've done obviously horizontal and vertical rectangles, but not an oval like that. So it's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Tree. Yep.
Very well done. All right. You know, and folks with fish art, you know, your mind is your only limitation. You know, look at Fish TV. Alan Gard. No.
Alan Farrington.
Farrington, thank you.
Yeah.
This guy is, you know, an artist. He's the guy who designed did the artwork for kayakbassfishing.com, Pirates of Lynn Haven. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful work. You can usually get one of his paintings in a raffle at the TKAA tournament. Just some beautiful stuff. And, you know, you, just like anything else, folks, your mind is your only limitation with art, and it's beautiful stuff all the way around. Chris asked if maybe we should switch clubs so we can be in the running for the POL Angler of the Year. That is what the print is for, right? Angler of the Year?
Yeah, the flounder one is it's for the Angler of the Year. It's just a raffle. You can probably just show up and buy a raffle. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work. I'm a member of the club and a former secretary even, but I haven't kept up with exactly how it goes. But more than likely, I'm sure you're all welcome to come and check out what's going on and probably buy raffle tickets, and all the proceeds go to the Massey Cancer Center. So it's a great, great cause. And it's my understanding there's going to be a bunch of raffle stuff, and probably not quite as much as TKA's big tournament, but you know, for a smaller club, they're definitely doing a lot there.
Yeah. I remember, you know, 2 years ago, we had 10 members, 12 members, something like that.
Something like that, yeah. Well, it's probably more, but not the active kind, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one other great art form that I really, really like and I've done before also is bone hooks, the Hawaiian-style circle hooks.
Yeah, those things are pretty cool. Yeah, I like them.
I actually cheated and used a Dremel
nice.
And just, you know, I could, you know, bust one or two of them out in an hour, you know, just beep, 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 you know, drill a hole in it real fast and on to the next one. And I did mine actually out of antler, which was pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
Unfortunately, the smell, if you And when you do things out of antler and usually bone, if you have a weak stomach, don't do it. It can get pretty rough once you start hitting some of those softer spots in the bone and stuff like that. Is there a date there, Rob, for that Angler of the Year PLO?
The last thing, I know it's in December. I apologize. I imagine it's going to be before Christmas, so probably second week, I'd say.
Right.
Second weekend. Don't quote me on that. I'm not entirely sure. You can probably go to the website and check it out.
Right. Oh, yeah. So you can always go to PiratesOfLynnhaven.org and find it there.
Yep.
Stan says cow femur is hard, but it's really big. I remember doing a little bit of that. And it was brutal. One of those things where the wife's like, you stay in the garage, get undressed before you even come in the house. I don't want any of that smell in the house. Anyway, fishing reports, folks. We did the artsy crafty stuff. For those of us that are salivating over the thoughts of big mama Basszilla moving down from up north, New Jersey's on them, folks. People up and down the Jersey coast are getting into them pretty decently off the beach and off the boats. With the recent weather we've had, very few people have ventured out. But I did get a text message from a buddy of mine who lives in Jersey saying that he got out into a small little inlet and found them. And he got two bass. One was 38 and one was 42. So they're making a move. All right. We have area code 714-598. You're on the air.
Hey, it's Rob.
Hey, Rob.
Sorry, man. I had phone issues.
Oh, that's okay.
What's happening, man? I heard Rob Choi talking about the prints, man. Those are awesome. I always wondered how he did that, man. Those
yeah,
are great.
Appreciate it.
How you guys doing?
Good, brother. How you doing?
Oh, not bad, not bad.
I'm doing good, man. I'm actually in my basement right now, and I'm looking at a whole mess of fiddlers I bought last Sunday, and I thought they would be dead, but they're not. So awesome.
Cool. You getting ready to go fishing?
I'm hoping to go togging pretty soon.
Awesome.
Yeah, tomorrow's looking really nice.
Yeah, I know.
Trust me, Rob, I feel you, brother.
might have to take a day off, man. Just maybe.
I could take a day off, but I need to find a babysitter, so that's my only right. But anyway, but yeah, the trappers are moving south, folks. People that have been braving the weather around the Delaware Bay, Philly, and everything else, they're finding schooly stripers and some bigger ones mixed in, so they're here. They're making their way slowly but surely. My prediction, ladies and gentlemen, is the, let's see here, the 2nd of November now. I hear the first reports that we finally start getting into them, or the first big mama Basszilla on the 21st of November, folks. You can write that down. are going to be caught in the bay. Some bigger ones have been caught around the Minor Merrimack over slot. So that's, for those in Virginia know what that is. That's a great sign. The tog bite is kicking up around the bay, too, and up and down the East Coast from, let's say, the North Carolina border north. So you got to get out, folks, and do some fishing. Find some of those shallow water togging spots around the bridge pilings. If you're up in Long Island, I know that Shinnecock and Murchis Inlet, those bridges around there always hold tog. All right, so just let everyone know. Further south, those Outer Banks boys are getting in them drum. big old mama drum off the surf, so definitely viable for the kayak angler, along with, you know, inside the bays and the inlets, you can definitely find the fish. The speck bite has dropped off a little bit, you know, for Virginia. North Carolina, it's still pretty good, too. So definitely, folks, you know, things are starting to wind down on some species. The ones that's picking up. And South Carolina, they've always got puppy drum and speckled trout and cobia and whatever else. Kayak Kevin finally joined us. What's going on, Kev? Fishing Chef. Robbie, what's going on? All right. I think that's the roundup there. Anyone have any questions, concerns, gripes, complaints? Oh, I almost forgot. Waiting on the results from the Manhattan meeting tonight. Remember, folks, today was the ASMFC meeting for Manhattan Fisheries. Everyone's got their fingers crossed, because I know I do. Hoping that the movers and shakers listen to the masses, and hopefully we find out tomorrow the results of that. Don't know if they're going to vote tonight or some other time, but this could be a very pivotal day. Remember, folks, a lot of things can change very quickly. Fingers crossed on that. All right. And with that, we're going to call it a night. I know most people just showed up like, oh, man. But the voice of the people has spoken. And they would like a shorter show. So you'll listen to them and make things happen. And here comes my shameless plugs. I got to start off with the Rob Choi's website, angling-addict.com. Folks, if you need a blog to read and some great knowledge, definitely check out Rob's website, his blog. Really nice pictures, yeah. You know.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, dude. You know, always enjoy checking out the stuff you got on there. And
appreciate it.
And hang on. And it's, you know, one of the better videos I've seen on compilation videos. But definitely cool. Yeah, man. Then the next one in Buzzard's Row, abadbadcast.com, Mr. Rob DeVore's blog. He has been MIA for a while from the blog, but from the you know, Lance Corporal Underground Grapevine, I hear that he is vigorously typing away, and we'll have a new blog post for everyone. So definitely check out abadbadcast.com.
Yes, I am working vigorously.
Let's see here. KayakKevin.com. Kevin's in the house. Remember, folks, coming up soon, Kevin's going to have Kayak Fishing the Chesapeake Bay 2. That's dos. Definitely check that out. You can find that video when it comes out. You're going to hear it here first on Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic, what day it's going to come out on. So you can go to his website, pre-order, do whatever you need to do to get this video. It is going to be absolutely awesome, and I'm excited for him. And congratulations, Kevin, on finally getting everything done and getting it printed and everything else. You deserve it, brother. But his website, kayakkevin.com. Folks, get the peak. Striper Run is about ready to hit here soon. If you have any questions or you know, I wonder what they use, go to his website, Kipto How To. Got all the info for you. And check the links, too. Some great info on there. Definitely a great website, blog, whatever you want to call it, for knowledge on kayak fishing. And Kevin's not a bad looker either, so. Let's see here. the big one, yakangler.com, folks, definitely check them out. The ultimate kayak fishing resource. Great blog. I heard from the Lance Corporal on the ground on that side, too, that we have some big things coming around the corner. So definitely stay tuned for that. Also, kayakbassfishing.com, folks. If you need just knowledge or just a bunch of people to talk to, kayakbassfishing.com is a great website. Chad does a really nice job. George, the man behind the scenes, keeps things running. So definitely check that website out. Keen Footwear. It's getting that time of year, folks. New shoes, everything else, you know, boots, whatever. Definitely check them out. They have some really nice stuff at a pretty decent price, and they're a USA-based company. Can't go wrong with that. Release Reels. Y'all, if you don't know about them, you will. I have a feeling that this Release Reels company is going to go big with some beautiful gear that is just tits to the wind. If I offend anyone, too bad. This company I believe in. Everything they make or that they have in their stock is all made in the USA. How many reel companies can say that? Rod companies can say that. Everything they have is going to be based out of the USA, milled, machined in Virginia. So definitely check them out, Release Reels. I hear from there underground that they are coming out with a newer website with a bunch of newer reels and gear, so definitely check that out here in the near future. Stay tuned for that. Am I forgetting anything? I know as soon as I hang up, I'm like, oh, I forgot something. But I think I've... got everything taken care of. Hook One. Thank you, Mr. Lozier. definitely check out Hook One. Great gear website. Chad Hoover has really bumped up the stakes with that company. And kayakfishinggear.com. Definitely check them out. Support them. They really have some great stuff on there. At decent prices, too, which is, pretty hard to find nowadays. So, with that, I think I've covered all the bases. Folks, check out Facebook. My name, Mark Wheeler. You can't miss me. I'm the guy holding the big black drum with the ugly face. Stay tuned for info that's going to be coming down the pike. Check out the recap that's going to be posted in the next couple days. And hopefully I'll catch you on the water. Remember, folks, always wear your PFD. Stay safe and stay warm. And for Greg, start shoveling, man. It sounds like you got a lot of work ahead of you. Anyway, folks, have a great night. Have a great weekend. And talk to you later.